What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Stage Is Yours. Today, I am joined in person, which has never happened before in the history of the show. I am joined by my friend Tanner from the YouTube channel Tanner's Terrifying Trivia. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up? What's going on?
Welcome to the show, man.
Thank
Welcome
you.
To the show. All right, so we do things here kind of in reverse. Usually when you do a podcast or something like that, you do your like plugs for your whatever at the end, like you give your social media stuff at the end. And I always figure like everybody's tired at the end of the episode. Who wants to talk about that shit after whatever?
Right.
So I try to do all that stuff at first. So real quick, tell me like tell people where they could find you, where they can keep up with your info on the show.
Tanner's Terrifying Trivia, YouTube, just put it in, Tanner's Terrifying Trivia. And I'm on Twitter. It's at Tanner's Trivia.
Okay.
On Twitter.
Yeah. I'll make sure to tag that in the, you know, when I put the episode out so that people can get to it a little easier.
That's good.
So yeah, it's a fantastic show. It's a lot of fun. Like it's like kind of, it's very, I don't want to call it like low tech cause it's not, but it's very, it's not a lot of like, you don't go crazy with the production. There's not like giant explosions and shit like that. It's like, it's trivia. It's fun. Like it's meant to be like a party game almost.
Plus I think part of it is I don't want to use too many copywritten
things
like audio or, you know, any kind of music or
you're not looking to get taken down.
No, that's the thing is I see a lot, I see a lot of guys up there, you know, a lot of people who are, who have channels and they're always talking about how they got a strike or how they ended up getting something would happen because they used a clip or they used audio is probably the biggest thing.
Yeah. So, seems to be the one that sets things off a lot quicker.
Right. So if I can avoid, if I can make like some of it actually, if I can have an opening scene where it has the credits for the movie before you actually play the game, if I can make it almost like as close as the original
without
actually getting, you know, a copyright strike that or something makes, for
have
it.
You,
I tried.
You had one before? Have you ever gotten one before?
No,
no, nothing.
Everything's been coming up fine. I've been really careful with music. I've used, you know, most of the music is like either from Pixabay, or like YouTube.
Yeah,
it's all stuff that's just
like, you know, you're not going to get stuck.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's probably the safest thing. I just want to, I want to be extra careful because I'd rather take care of it now.
Yeah.
Than to have to worry about changing things, and because it's so hard to go back and just edit little things because you have to export it again and upload it.
You
got to
take everything down. You
just for maybe one little thing.
Right.
So
for 2 seconds worth of audio or something.
So I just do it right off in the beginning.
Oh, that makes total sense, man. Total sense. So, how did you come up with the idea to do this? Like, what are the origins of the show? I guess.
2006 is when I first came out with a YouTube channel, and then I started putting things on there. Probably around 2007. I've only had 5 videos up there. One was a location documentary for the Warriors, and then another one was a little puppet master film that I did.
Right.
And there were only five videos up there for years. And then once we hit the pandemic and everybody was out of work and I was out of work and I had time to think about doing things, I said, well, you know, why don't I rebrand my channel into, since it's been just sitting there for years, why don't I just rebrand it? I love horror.
Yeah.
I love trivia.
Yeah.
Why don't I just make a horror trivia channel and see where it goes? So that's pretty much where it started.
And it doesn't seem like there's been, like, there's not a lot of other sites out there like that. Like, I haven't seen, like, there are pages that you can watch that will give you trivia on movies, but nothing I've ever seen has been kind of formatted the way you do yours. Like, yours is meant to be, like, it's informative, yes, but it's meant to be fun. Like, it's meant to, like, you make learning fun.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I do make learning fun. I try. I mean, I try to do it. The movies that are up there right now, and I have, I think at this point I have 95 videos, I think. So the movies that are up there right now are movies that I really like. I love. Well, I shouldn't say I really like. I love.
Yeah.
everything from the Universal Monsters, even up to things like the Black Phone, mm-hmm. Terrifier, you know, things like that. Yeah. So it's like, and with a focus mainly on 70s and 80s.
Okay.
Because that's when I grew up.
Well, that's your,
that's my main thing. And I know that's just, I just happen to gravitate towards that time right. frame. But
well, it's comfortable. You know it.
It's very comfortable. Yeah. And so, but it's got everything in there. And I figured, you know, if I'm, I know a lot of people love these movies. You know, you could, and you know, you read about things like where people will say, you know, don't make a channel up for necessarily to please people.
Yeah.
Make it to please yourself. And then hopefully people will go along for the ride.
Will also enjoy it. Yeah.
So, you know, and because at that point, if you're not going to make it for yourself, you're going to probably, I probably would stop doing it because I would be bored.
Well, it's work at that point.
It'd be work. Right yeah. now, it's just a lot of fun. I always say it's therapeutic. It's so therapeutic to just sit down and put in a movie that you love and yep. makes you feel good when you watch it. And write the questions down and, you know, maybe come up with a couple of funny answers, throw a couple of funny answers in there. And, so it's a lot of fun.
Now, so what is your, how does your creation process go? Like, obviously, like, you do, there are multiple choice. So I know you've got to, like, you've obviously got to sit through the movies, I'm assuming more than once sometimes, to take notes. It's got, or is there a lot of, like, pausing and restarting as you're, like, writing, jotting things down? Or
I watch it once. I what I'll do is I'll have a notebook with me.
Yeah.
And then I will just play the movie, and then if I see something that's interesting, I'll stop it, write it down.
Yeah.
Play, watch something. So but what I try to do is I try to go from beginning to end. So if you I try to avoid putting in questions that were halfway into the movie.
Okay.
And then a question, like say question number two would be the beginning of the movie.
You're keeping them chronological.
Yeah, I want it right, totally okay. in order. So I wanted to do that because then it would help you at answering it, knowing where it is in the movie.
Well, yeah, because if you've watched the movie, like right. it makes sense in the timeline. Yeah. Like, okay, this question makes sense here. Yeah.
So that, yeah.
Okay.
So that's pretty much, but what I didn't want to do is I had a choice whether I wanted to make it multiple choice. I was going to make the questions a little tough and then make it multiple choice so you knew there was an answer up there.
Right.
Or I was going to do a question and just have you answer it but make it a little easier. And mm-hmm. I was like, well, you know, I want to make it a little challenging because if you're watching it, you know the movie somewhat.
Right.
And I don't want to make it a simple question like, you know, who's
the killer in Nightmare on Elm Street?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Right. So, so I did it with the multiple choice because you know that there's the answer is looking at you
right
as one of the choices. So yeah.
Have you ever had come across ones where like you start, let's say you started watching the movie, you want to do this episode, you start watching the movie and you're just like, holy shit, I can't do this movie.
Yes. Yeah. which I may ended up doing. I did that with Halloween 5.
Okay.
I
mean, that's understandable.
Yeah, I did one to four.
Yeah.
And then I was ready to do five, and I just couldn't. It rubs me the wrong way, that movie. It just, there's a lot of things in there that I just don't think that they continued in the right direction from four.
Yeah.
I loved four.
Yeah.
I just think they just made a lot of bad decisions in that. But I probably, because I love Halloween and the Halloween film so much, mm-hmm. I probably will end up doing it so I can go through and do 5, 6 and then H2O and then go through. But I do have...
Are you going to do the whole franchise?
Probably.
Are you going to run the whole franchise at some point, you think?
I have 1 to 4 right now. And then 2018?
Yes.
And then
you did that one right after it came out, I think.
And then Halloween... which is the last one was Ends?
Ends.
Yeah, Kills.
Yeah.
I did Kills, and I still have to do Ends.
Okay.
I will end up getting... I want to get all of them at one point. Same thing with Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I'm up to, I think, 5 right now, and 5. I'm going to be releasing 6.
Okay.
So, but I wanted to do all of them. I'm not a fan of... you know, there's a couple in there that I'm not a huge fan of, but I mean, it's still Friday the 13th.
Does that make it difficult to do though? Like when you've got a franchise that big, like you've got like Friday the 13th, I think there's like 13 movies yeah. or something in the franchise. Like obviously there are some that stick out as stinkers. Like do you, when you get to those, are you like, I have to do them kind of?
I don't think it's been as, I don't think as far as Friday the 13th, I don't think it's been as, I don't think it's been like Halloween 5.
Okay.
Halloween 5 really...
It really fought you?
Yeah, it really got me. I was probably about 20 minutes into it, and I was like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Friday the 13th, even though there's some later ones that may not be as good as the originals or, yeah. or the earlier ones, I can still get through them and still enjoy it mm-hmm. for what it is. So yeah, that's the difference.
So, I mean, your show has... Like, if I went back and watched the first episode and then I watched your most recent one, which is Prince of Darkness, right? Like, yeah. Your most recent one was Prince of Darkness.
Right.
They're like, I mean, the bones of the show are the same, but aesthetically, like, they are night and day almost. Like, the quality of the show has grown huge. Like, I remember the first time I noticed that you had changed what the counter looked like. I was yes. like, oh, you changed right, right. the counter. Like,
right.
And, you know, like, you've added little, little sound effects here right. and there. Like the title card looks a little different.
Right.
Like you polished up the show.
Yeah.
Where do you see it going? Like if you were to get it right, let's say like hypothetically right where you wanted it to be, what is the show going to look like if you had it exactly how you wanted it?
I don't really want to get it too polished. That's the thing. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't want to go, I kind of want it to stay more in I don't want to say low budget, but...
I know what you mean.
Yeah. I kind of want to keep it in...
Homegrown kind of.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I want to keep it in that kind of style. I mean, I definitely, you know, I guess it's a thing of when I first started doing it, you know, you just learn... Because I use Adobe Premiere Pro mm-hmm. for editing. And at first, you know, you're learning everything and you don't know exactly what button does what and this, you know, and there's so many things to that program. And over the past year, I've gotten a little bit better when it came to like, okay, I could put this here,
right?
And I can take that, and I could put this over here, and that'll make this look even better, and this will move better, mm-hmm. and this will. So I think my titles, my movie titles, the actual movie titles, yeah. and the little animation that I do yeah. there has gotten a little bit better because I've learned more. But it's just time.
Is it a confidence thing too? Like you're a little more. Willing to experiment a bit because you kind of have a general idea of what you're doing now?
It's also learning.
Yeah.
It's just learning more like I said, more what does this button do? What does that one do? How can I make this look better? Finding certain things. It's funny. And that's why it's such a fun thing to do because it's like, when I first started off, I was very nervous because I was like, how is this going to be? Is this going to be something that people are going to like?
Yeah.
I mean, am I going to like doing it?
Right.
Am I going to, you know, but it's been really, again, it's therapeutic. It's just something that I, you know, if you're having a bad day or if you're, you know, you sit down and you just edit something and it makes me feel so much better.
Well, and you're a massive horror fan. Like we've been friends now for, God, like it's got to be like 20 years almost 20 years.
About 20, yeah.
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 Like, you, like, are one of the biggest horror fans I think maybe I've ever met. Like, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, you're just knowledgeable about movies and shit that, like, some people don't even remember.
And it's like, so funny because there's somebody that, like, but even you'll do this to me. Like, there'll be somebody that'll come around and give me some information that I never knew. Or there'll be somebody, like, sometimes you'll say something to me and I'll go, I never knew that.
Right.
And it's like, I should have known that, but I just don't. So I'm learning myself every, you know, all the time when I talk to some people and everything.
Right.
So it's nice.
Did you notice a lot, like obviously like editing is a process and learning it is a process, but were there growing pains going into the show that you were not anticipating? Or as you've been doing it, have there been things that popped up that you were like, well, I couldn't have predicted that.
No,
like,
well, there was a problem with, not a problem, but there was, when I first started out, I didn't have a timer or the music to go along with the timer,
right.
the 10-second timer.
Yeah.
And then I had a friend of mine, Bob, he said to me, you should put a timer over there or some music or something. Yeah, to break people it up will a little bit. And I never even that never even occurred to me. And when he said that, I think actually he said music. That's what he said. He said, put some music up there. Yeah. I said, okay, great. So I put 10 seconds worth of music. But then I was like, well, wait a minute. Why don't I put a timer up there too?
Right.
So people could actually visually, they'll hear it, but they'll hear the music, but they'll also see the timer going down. And they'll know exactly what, you know.
And it gives that little element of tension. I've only got 3 seconds left to...
Exactly. So that was a big help when he said that. So that was something that I went into not even thinking about. And then when he mentioned that, I said, wow, that's great. Let me try that. And that has been in my videos ever since.
Right.
So, actually, no. You know what I did is I went back. I did go back. I took about 10 or 15 videos at the time he told me this. He suggested this to me. And I went back and I re-edited all of them.
Okay.
And put the that was sort of a lot of work.
Yeah, I bet.
but it was worth it though. It was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's the reception been for the channel?
Well, I don't have a lot of subscribers, a lot of people.
Still starting out.
Yeah, I'm starting out. So it's been on there for a little over a year. But I mean, and anybody I talk to who's played a game
enjoyed it.
Yeah, because there's going to be something up there for everybody. If you like the Universal Monsters, there's some Universal Monster stuff. If you like slasher films, there's slasher films. Yeah. If you like zombie films, there's zombie films. If you like some newer films, there's some newer films. Yeah. Yeah. There's if you like some of the best horror comedies I have up there, Young Frankenstein, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, Ghost of Mr. Chicken, a lot of that stuff. The terrifying to me isn't necessarily the terrifying in Tanner's Terrifying Trivia isn't necessarily something that has to be like The Exorcist or something that has to be, or Suspiria or something where it has to be intense all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm even thinking about doing something like the Scooby-Doo episodes.
Right.
The classic. I mean, anything that has like a monster or anything that has...
There's all kinds
creatures.
Of
creatures. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why I did, I figured Young Frankenstein would be good.
Perfect.
Ghost of Mr. Chicken, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein and stuff like that. So I figured all of that stuff that has anything to do with monsters or anything, creatures, would fit into this category. Right. I also want to...
You've even got a couple in there that aren't necessarily horror. Like there's a Back to the Future episode, isn't there?
No.
There isn't one?
No.
Why did I think there was a Back to the Future episode?
Probably because we were talking about.
No, that's probably.
I think
right.
We were talking about.
Yeah, we talked about it. All
right. I'm
imagining shit.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Well, honestly, I don't think you're imagining. I think we
definitely talked about it.
Something about because we were talking about other movies that would be cool to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Non horror. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. But the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Right.
But I mean, so I'm even doing that for Halloween.
It's got a Halloween vibe too.
Yeah, so that's coming out for Halloween. But it's things that just have that. And of course, there's a lot of. I mean, people are gonna. A lot of people like that. It brings them back to when they were a child.
Yeah.
So, but everything from the hardcore horror to the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
And everything in between.
Right.
Yeah.
So you cover all of it.
Yeah.
So to speak.
I try.
Have you gotten any feedback from people that helped you change something about the show? Now, obviously you said the count, the adding music and the counter, but have you ever has anybody come to you and said oh, I liked it, but did you think about trying something like this or maybe suggesting a movie that you hadn't thought about trying?
Not yet, but I'd like,
you're open to the feedback. Yeah,
I am, because if there's something that I'm not seeing, as a perfect example with my friend Bob, he, told me to put the music.
Yeah.
He's like, why don't you put the music? Oh, it's a good idea. And now that I look at it, it's like, oh, it's a great idea.
Right? It's almost how did I even do it without that?
How did I miss that?
Yeah.
But, I mean, anybody that would have a suggestion, or anything.
Yeah.
I'm willing to, as long as it's going to make it better.
Yeah, as long as it's constructive.
Exactly. Yeah. Constructive is great. But as long as it's going to make it better, I'd be thrilled with it. That'd be great. but I don't have, I mean, again, I because I don't have a lot of subscribers right now.
You're still a little limited.
Yeah. I'm still a little limited to, like, there's not a lot of people making comments, right, and a lot of people, I mean, there's a lot of watch time when, right, I go in and check the analytics and comments, stuff like that. There's a lot of good watch time for me, but not a lot of comments. Yeah. So, but I mean, it's still, I'm happy.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. I love the show. I think it's fun.
Thank you.
So, all right. So then that takes care of the business portion of the episode.
Nice.
All right. So now we can just be ourselves again.
Okay.
Tell me about your introduction to the horror genre.
I was lucky enough to have two parents who were drive-in movie theater
aficionados.
Parents. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And we went probably two or three times a month.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, and back then, you know, there were a lot of obscure horror films. Like, and what's funny is that there were a lot of PG movies that now would be R.
Well, yeah, because it was the only rating they had.
Right. So
and
when
R was R back then was R.
Yeah.
Like it was.
Exactly. So like I would go see a movie, say Grizzly.
Yeah.
Which was rated
PG. Did you see Grizzly in the drive-in?
I saw it in the theater.
Okay.
But mostly most of the horror stuff I saw was at the drive-in.
Yeah.
But Grizzly was a move was
yeah,
a
Grizzly would have been terrifying at the drive-in.
It scared the hell. Yeah. It was terrifying in the
stuck
theater
out in the middle
for me.
Of the woods somewhere.
It was terrifying for me in the theater. I remember coming home and it was so funny because I think this is one of the reasons why it made me such a horror fan is because I had that feeling. I was like split. Part of me was scared, but part of me was fascinated with what I just went through.
Yeah.
Like, I just went through this experience.
It's exhilarating.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was happy about that, but then part of me would think about it and get creeped out.
Right.
But, so that was PG. And, you know, so my parents would say, well, I mean, it's PG. How bad could it be?
Well, and that's kind of what it was, right? Like, back then, like, I mean, you're a little older than I am, but I was still in the era where PG-13 was not quite as... It was a little newer.
Right.
Like, really new to a certain extent. Like, the first PG-13 movie was what? Poltergeist? Was it Poltergeist? Or somewhere in that, something like that?
I think Poltergeist was still PG.
Was PG?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
I forget what... It doesn't matter.
Well, Red Dawn was one of the first ones,
yeah.
Right? Non-horror.
Right.
But I don't know what the first horror one was.
So, like, I definitely saw stuff that, like, when I had kids finally that I would sit down to watch with them.
Right.
And, like, oh, it's PG. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's, like, 1975 PG.
Right.
You know,
right.
Where it's, like, not really PG. Like, it should, like you said, it should be R, but...
Some of the movies that I'll watch now as an adult... that I love from seeing them as a child. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll watch something along the lines of Race with the Devil,
mm-hmm,
or Grizzly.
Yeah.
And they're PG movies, but they scared the crap out of me when I was a kid. And right now I'll watch them and I'll still get that feeling. It'll take me back and I'll still feel that, like, I'll still feel, okay, I'll watch a scene and I'll go, that... is making me feel like I did when I was a kid.
Right.
It's strange. And they're PG movies. And so obviously the R-rated ones, my parents would say, okay, we have to look into this to see what it's, I mean, is it horror or is it sex?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What can we, I mean, so.
Which back then was harder because you didn't have IMDb to give you a rundown of like what's in the movie.
Yeah, to try to
get it. So I can't even imagine, like, as a parent, how much of a pain in the ass it must have been to try and figure out what was in some shit.
Exactly.
Back then.
So
because it wasn't like the newspaper was going to tell you that kind of thing. They were going to give you a basic review, like, you know.
Just
teenagers go into woods and chaos ensues.
Look at the movie poster.
Yeah, exactly.
What does the movie poster tell you?
If there's a half-naked woman on it, there's going to be a full naked woman in the movie. Yeah.
So yeah, so they would, that's probably where it started, the drive-in and then the movie theater, but mostly the drive-in, because they would have triple features.
Yeah.
Of like really odd titles, that Invasion of the Blood Farmers, Dr. Butcher, Motel Hell is not that obscure, but that was one of them. Meat Cleaver Massacre,
wow.
Frankenstein's Castle of Freaks, Night of Bloody Horror. I mean, all these titles that my parents were like, let's just take them.
That'll be fine. Dr. Butcher, great.
And I think I turned out fairly.
You turned out all right.
Fairly. Yeah. Let's just say fairly, you know, normal, I guess, if you could call it. Well, I'm not really normal. Who's normal?
None of us.
It's fun to not be normal. Yeah, but exactly. But yeah, so that was all that is just, those memories are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I still go to the drive-in today, and when I see kids at the drive-in and families, it just makes my, this is so good.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm so happy for them, because I know those kids are going to grow up and they're going to think, hopefully they'll have the same feelings that I have
right.
as an adult. Just those good, just those happy times where you know, because I mean, what are you going to do at the drive-in? You're in your pajamas.
Yeah.
You're getting all the food and the drink that you want.
Yeah.
You could fall asleep if you want.
Yeah, you can lay out and you're hanging out in the car or outside on a blanket or something.
It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing ever. So yeah, that's pretty much the origin of my love for horror. Yeah.
Do you remember your first, the first horror movie you ever saw? Or roundabout?
It probably was a double feature at the drive-in of Race with the Devil and The Devil's Reign.
Wow.
And they both terrified. I cried, actually.
The Devil's Reign.
Yeah,
my goodness.
My mom had taken me to go see both of those films. And I actually cried. I remember when there's a scene in The Devil's Reign where they melt.
Yeah, everybody's face is melting. Yeah.
Yeah, and they make these, like, I think they're just like making this weird, like,
yeah, it's like a long scene too. It's like a good 10 minutes of like just, they show everybody melting from beginning to end pretty much.
And that, I remember crying, and my mother was holding me, and I was so scared. But that kind of stuff freaked me out. And then Race with the Devil was on, I think Race with the Devil was the second film that they were showing. And there was a scene in Race with the Devil where they're driving away in the RV and the Satanists are chasing them, and one of them jumps on the back of the RV and they're trying to break in.
Yeah.
That terrified me. I mean, things like that. It wasn't necessarily a gory scene or anything, but just the fact that this guy was trying to get into this thing after them, and what is he going to do with them?
Yeah, your imagination got a hold of you and it just ran.
So that double feature was the really, really scared the hell out of me. Like, and now I look at it as it's such a fond memory now.
Right.
And I'll watch Race with the Devil or Devil's Reign. I really like Race with the Devil.
It gives you the warm feeling. And it gives me a warm,
exactly. It doesn't give me a scary feeling at all. Now I could remember back to being scared.
Right.
But it's a good feeling because, again, it started all that stuff started my whole horror, my love for horror.
Well, there would be you would have no channel if it wasn't for those moments, right?
And also, exactly, and also HBO and the movie channel.
HBO back
very
in the day.
Early, right? When they first started, I saw a lot of obscure, like we were talking before about the one with the, the one where the senior citizens are getting kicked out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Why can't I think of the name now?
Damn it. I just watched it like 2 months ago.
Yeah, you were telling... Yeah,
I can't think of the name. It's not Tenement. Damn it, what is it? Whatever. I know what movie you mean.
It was movies like that I remember seeing on HBO and the movie channel way back that were horror kind of...
Yeah.
It's a horror movie.
It's
but
horror.
It's
like that. I almost drama. View that more as like an exploitation film. Like it's like, what would you even call it? Like senior exploitation or old exploitation?
Right.
Like it's not a standard.
And I think that might have been PG too. I think it was. I'm not mistaken. So all those things, it's like, you know, the combination of the drive-in, the movie theater, and things like HBO and the movie channel were really a big. They were really a big part of my love for horror.
Well, I mean, like, especially with, like, HBO, because that's a bit more where I was kind of pushed into horror was through stuff, like, on HBO.
Right.
Like, I watched The Gate, like, they would play it, like, if it was on every day for a month, I probably watched it at one of the two times during the day that they played it.
Right.
So, I mean, that movie is, like, ridiculously ingrained in me now for that specific reason. Like, but it was funny because they would play any movie at any time of the day.
Right.
Like, unless it had, like, a ton of sex in it or something like that.
Right.
Like, it didn't matter. They were going to play it during the day. So I saw all kinds of horror stuff during the day that you wouldn't have... I would have never been exposed to otherwise.
I remember... What was funny is I remember when they did... It's not a horror film, but it's... I remember the first time I saw on HBO when they released Saturday Night Fever to HBO for the first time. They did an R-rated version and a PG version.
No shit.
And that's the first time... Yeah. Nowadays, they could do that easily.
Well, nowadays, but they would say it was a TV edit and a whatever, yeah.
But back then, it was like... So they must have done...
Like a during-the-day version.
Just and for HBO specifically. Yeah, And I remember seeing that and going, okay, PG during the day and R late at night.
Right.
I said, that's a great idea.
It is.
But yeah.
It's expensive. I can't imagine that's like cost effective.
Right. But I think HBO was doing all right though.
I mean, it was like the Wild West days of cable. Right, so they were just putting on anything to get eyes.
Exactly.
Like some of the weirdest horror movies I remember watching came from HBO. You know, or like as I got a little bit older, like HBO, like at like 2 o'clock in the morning, you would find like the really low budget oddball shit. Like here's Street Trash at, you know, 1:30 in the morning.
Right. Like the movies that
you're totally not old enough to watch this, Aaron, but nobody's
up. You might as well watch it anyway.
You're right.
But it formed who you are today.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
For good or for bad, I guess.
Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's cool though. but also I would say the, you know, you have the big movies, you know, like Jaws and Halloween and Friday the 13th, but you also have the oddball ones that I named that were just, you know, they came and went and, you know, and you're lucky if you can get them on VHS now.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, thank goodness for places like, you know, like
Shout Factory,
Vinegar
and
Syndrome.
Yeah, Vinegar Syndrome.
And all of those other kind, Arrow Video now has a whole line of their stuff, which I kind of love it because there's, those companies that were around back then that aren't necessarily around now, and they had all of those movies that you would want to see. And like you said, unless you had a VHS copy, you weren't necessarily going to even get it.
Right.
Like, you might never see it again. Like we talked, you know, when we were hanging out a few weeks back, we were talking about found footage movies.
Yeah.
And I had brought up my favorite found footage movie is The Last Broadcast, which I know you guys didn't like. But that copy that I have on DVD for the longest time was like hot commodity.
Right.
Like I could have named my price
and
sold that to a collector and they would have paid it willingly. And I was like, really? The Last Broadcast? Like, but because they never put out any kind of updated, there was no Blu-ray.
No.
The DVD was out of print. Like, but that's kind of that's what it was with VHS. Like, how many VHS movies do you remember walking by in the video store that are just gone now? Like, they're just, like, unless one of those companies buys the rights and decides to put them out, those movies are never going to see the light of day.
It is a shame, because somebody, I mean...
They'll dump them on streaming or something like that, you know?
And if you're, you know, and the thing about these companies... like Shout Factory, Vinegar Syndrome, all these companies, they're putting love into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of work.
Yeah, so they're taking movies that are obscure and they're really making sure that the aspect ratio is perfect. Mm-hmm. They're making sure that it's cleaned up. They're making sure the audio. I mean, they really put a lot of love into films that the general public would never even hear of. Horror fans know. But not
now. What's your stance on, like, obviously I love that these movies are getting, you know, releases so that generations can see them again. What is your stance on, like, polishing up old movies? Because I enjoy a certain amount of polish, but I feel like there's a very fine line between the movie looking not washed out the way it would on VHS to me being able to see all of the, like you've pulled the curtain back on The Magician and now I can see how the trick is done. Like Friday the 13th is always the one that I go to with this, because in the polished up 4K version of that movie, I can see where where the person's head ends and the makeup begins.
On Kevin Bacon, you mean?
On any of, even the girl in the beginning that gets her throat cut. Like you can see, like as soon, there's that split second when they pull her head back.
Right.
before the knife goes, like, I can tell you where the application is. Like, I know where it is. But on the VHS, you couldn't see that because none of those movies were shot in high def.
Right.
Those movies are shot on, you know, film or whatever they were shooting on. And, like, there was no polish to that. Right. Like, you could make the application look good because you knew that there was limitations to what the audiences was going to be able to see. But now, I mean, 4K Friday the 13th, like, good Lord. Like, I want to see it, sure. But it, there's a part that takes me out of it while I'm watching that. I'm like, oh, here you go.
I
like,
wish there was a way to clean it up, but
not
maybe
show
have
it.
Tom Savini sit next to you.
Right.
And say,
like, don't
clean this
here
up, but don't polish this up because it'll show.
Right.
Or somebody who did the, you know, I just bring Tom Savini up as, but somebody who actually worked on it could say, well, maybe you should, like, there's a couple of really, you know, they cleaned up Night of Living Dead, the original Night of Living Dead. And,
yeah,
and I have a soft spot for the old VHS white, you know, it's the darks are off and the whites are off.
It's
and,
sort of washed
and,
out.
And it's washed out, yeah. Right? And it's popping and crackling.
Right, but now it's bright.
Right, I sort of have a soft spot for that because it's a zombie movie.
Yeah,
It's sort of supposed to give you that feeling like it's...
It felt like, always felt like newsreel to
yes,
me. Like you were watching.
Right,
like it's
right.
not a found footage movie, but there's something about the way that movie is shot
that's
that makes
exactly,
it feel a little
exactly,
found footage-y.
It feels that way. So when you have the popping and the cracking and the washed out stuff, mm-hmm. it sort of looks like you're watching an old broadcast, a news broadcast.
It lends to the,
yes, it's yeah. it's great. So that's a little, and then there's a really, you know, in Sleepaway Camp in the Blu-ray, there's a scene where the killer, and I don't want to
yeah,
release
anybody
any,
that hasn't seen
I,
it.
Yeah,
yet.
Exactly. The killer comes in. In the doorway.
Yeah.
Now in the VHS and even in the DVD, I think they did the D. You couldn't really see it, especially
yeah, it looks
the VHS.
Like it's
you
just
could,
kind of
it's
a,
just an outline of a person.
Yeah.
But in this one, you can
make
see a little too
is.
Much of the person. It doesn't give it that.
Yeah.
You need to, but yeah. So I think cleaning it up in some cases is wonderful.
Yeah.
Because you have really bad copies, but in some cases it reveals a little too much.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Do you have some favorites that people wouldn't necessarily know about? Like, do you have like a top five movies that are just like lost gems that you think more people should know about? Like, we mentioned the one about the old people in the apartment building that we can't remember the name.
Why can't
of.
I remember the name
I know,
of that?
I know.
Exorcist III.
Okay.
Which I always recommend to people, always. That's one of the movies that I always recommend to people to see it. But most horror fans who are hardcore have already seen it
yeah.
anyways. The Changeling with George C. Scott, another
okay.
George C. Scott movie.
Yep.
Legend of Boggy Creek I always loved. Bigfoot movie.
That one totally gets forgotten.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it, I've seen it before.
Right.
But it had been quite a while.
Right.
And then I caught like the MST3K or the Riff Tracks one of it. And
oh,
I was like, oh,
Boggy,
I can watch. That's Boggy
Creek
2. Boggy Creek
2, yeah.
But like those movies are kind of just gone. Like you can't
yeah.
really, like I don't know if there's versions that you can buy now if they've been re...
They just released Legend of, I don't even know what company. It's not a
major
big
one.
No. It's, and they had, they did it in, they teamed up with, the director's daughter, I think.
Okay,
it's
so like a family member.
Yeah, they teamed up with the director's daughter and they worked with her to clean it
kind
up.
Kind of redo
and,
it a little
yeah,
bit. Yeah.
So I saw some. It looks great. I mean they clean it and again, movies like that are 2:3:5 ratio.
Mm.
You really need to put them. You really need to clean them up and put them in that proper ratio because everything's squished together.
Oh yeah,
if you
everything
put it
looks
in
like shit.
Full
otherwise.
Screen,
yeah.
yeah. So they really do a good job cleaning stuff up nowadays. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of what else I would recommend. Jeez,
Like, I've been trying to dig into, like, old slasher movies from the 80s that I may have missed.
Right.
Like, things like The Last Drive-In and, like, Sick Flicks have been, like, a big help for stuff like that. Like, movies like Stage Fright or Edge of the Axe. Is that what it is? Edge of the Axe?
Edge of the Axe, yes.
What did I just watch recently? Primal Rage?
The Drive-In? At the Drive-In?
No. I caught that on...
No, I mean, that's the one with the Drive-In?
The Primal kids. Rage is the one with... it's at a college, and there's like a rabid... rabid test baboon or something like
that's
that.
That's right.
What was the other... I watched another one the same day.
Edge of the Axe was wild.
Edge of the Axe was like one of the first Friday the 13th, like, blatant ripoffs that I'd ever watched. But I got to be honest, I had a good time with it. Like, I feel like there's a certain... Like, I love me some, like, 80s cheesiness now. Like, I appreciate it more as an older person. Like, I didn't get exposed to a ton of horror as a kid because of my upbringing, so it was kind of piecemeal. Like, if I could catch something, I would catch something, and I always loved horror movies,
but
they weren't readily available for me to watch.
I love slashers.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff now. Like, the benefit of streaming is that there's, like, this whole wealth of movies that I missed that now I can kind of just sit, like, you know, thanks Tubi, I can just sit back and watch, like, you know, movies that, like, Death Spa, that, like, I watched that, I was like, who the fuck ever heard of this? Right. And, like, so I threw it on anyway, and, like, it wasn't good, but it was fun. Like, I had a good time watching it.
I remember seeing a film years ago called something like The Legend of the Headless Horseman or something like that. It was a real, like, low budget 70s, it's like early 70s, I believe it was, film. And it was bad, but again, I say bad, I don't mean bad.
You know, yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, it was fun.
Yeah.
And somebody would...
There's a bad movie and then there's a bad movie.
Right, you'd pull somebody off the street, a general person, and they would look at it and say, oh,
why am I watching this?
And it probably, maybe is horrible, but there's always something that I find value in certain films, no matter what it is. I mean, I always try to appreciate the fact that somebody actually went, a group of people actually went out there and
made a movie.
Yeah, and went out and just worked their butts off to try to make a movie, as good or bad as it, the way it turned out. Yeah. I still sort of try to look at it that way, give some appreciation to that.
Yeah, I tend to love bad. Like, some of my favorite movies are ones that would be considered, like, bad. Like, you would just put them on a bad list. Like, I love Jack Frost. That's probably one of the worst movies ever, but a boy do I love Jack Frost.
I do too. It's great. I love Jack Frost. Ice Cream Man.
Yep. Yeah, I caught that for the first time like a year or so ago. I didn't hate it. It was fun. Like, it wasn't good, but it was fun.
It's supposed to be campy, yeah. It's a good movie.
I think horror is one of those, like, the mainstream moviegoers ignore horror because it's just, you know, they think it's lowbrow and stupid. But then you get into horror fans, and there's this whole kind of, like, subset of horror fans that, like, just need everything to be, like, high art.
Right.
And I feel like with horror, it's the kind of thing where, like, every movie has its place somewhere.
Right.
Like, there's going to be, like, okay, I love some A24 movies, and, like, I hate the term elevated horror.
Right.
I think it's this most smug, stupid thing I've ever heard.
It is.
But I do love movies that fall into that category, and I love slashers, and I love stuff that gets qualified as, like, bad movie. House of the Dead, one of the worst, arguably probably one of the worst movies. I love that movie.
Video game movie.
I unironically love that movie because that game is bad. The writing is bad. The dialogue delivery is bad. The game itself is kind of, like, cheesy and campy.
Right.
So what were you expecting the movie to be? Like, did you really want some kind of highbrow,
that's a good point,
well done, like, well-written fucking movie? Like,
I really don't care what, I mean, I don't, whether it's, was made for $10 and it was shot in the 70s.
Or 10 million.
$10 million, as long as it entertains me and it has some kind of,
it needs to make sense. You need some
cohesion. If it's an hour and a half goes by and I say, you know, that was a bad movie, yeah, but it entertained
me. Right, right. Like, were you still smiling at the end of it?
Right. And I most of the time I say yes. Most of the time I say yeah. It entertained me. I had a fun time watching it. Now, will I watch it again?
Maybe not necessarily.
Maybe not. You know, or maybe years from now I might watch it again. Right. But But yeah, it's just, if it entertains me, I'm happy with it.
That's really like the ultimate point of a movie. Right. Like, it's not supposed to change the world sometimes. No. Some movies, sure, will change the world. Like, right. There's always some movie that comes out and, like, reinvents the wheel. But sometimes movies are just meant to be entertainment. Like, they're just supposed to be fun.
And sometimes, you know, it's funny because sometimes people will look too much, like you were saying, look too much into it and go, well, it doesn't have this, you know, kind of budget, or it doesn't have this. Why did they do this?
Right.
How come it's... And it's like, well, you know,
sometimes you got to work with what you've got.
Better. Yeah, exactly. And that's where the, you know, to get to appreciate that in the filmmakers part of it, where they, you know, probably didn't have a lot of money and right. didn't have a lot of people on the set yeah. and they had to use multiple people for
you
multiple
things. You
have to
cut things. Corners somewhere.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
So, you know, but... Yeah, I have no, whatever, like I said, it's as simple as if it entertains me, no matter if it could be a $100 trillion movie,
right.
or it could be a movie that was made for $10. If it entertains me, I'm happy.
All right, so I think this would be a good question to kind of round us out for the episode. In terms of, like, theater-going experiences, like, prices are high. Ticket
yeah.
prices are high now.
Right.
Even the drive-in's not as cheap as it used to be. Like, you're not going to pay a ton, but you're still going to... You're going to pay a little bit to get in now.
Right.
Do you think with streaming services and all of the availability to get movies, like, first run in the comfort of your own home, do you think that the theater experience is... dying, or do you think it will just kind of have to evolve into something else? Like, I think the drive-in will probably always be there just because it's two movies
and it's
like, yeah, 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 right. exactly. Like, you're gonna take the kids out right. and like you're out in the air and let them run around, like you, like we were saying,
right?
But you're the not. Movie theater going experience I find to be less enjoyable than I used to, and maybe that's just because post-pandemic, I'm a little out of practice with being around, you know, tons of people. And let's be honest, not everybody has, like, theater etiquette
right.
anymore. Like,
right,
you know,
right,
not
right.
shouting at the top of your lungs
right.
in a theater. But with the high price of tickets and not always the highest quality of film, like, we're not always getting... I don't like to make it seem like every movie that comes out now is absolute dog shit, because that's not the case. Like,
right.
every... You go back to any year from the beginning of movies and you're going to find films that weren't any damn good.
Exactly.
But do you think with the high prices and the building kind of... dissatisfaction with the quality of films, like, do you think that the theater going experience itself is gonna, does it have to change? Like, are they gonna have to start adding something to it?
As sad as it, I don't want to say this, and it really saddens me to say it, but I don't, what are they gonna do when somebody could just sit home and watch, especially, you know, going back years, at least they used to wait 6 months or 8 months or a year for it to actually come to some kind of
home viewing.
Yeah, exactly. You used to have to wait a while.
Yeah.
So you would say,
took
okay,
a while
well,
to
maybe,
rent it. And then
maybe I should go see it in the theater now, cause
right.
I want to see it. But back, but now it's like, it's hard. It's, you can't, you, when they literally say, like in some instances, I think Halloween ends or kills.
Yeah.
Or maybe even both.
I think it was both.
Yeah. I mean,
they like simultaneously
same time,
in
like
both, yeah.
in the theater and in the...
I think the first one, I think 2018 did the same thing.
Did they?
I think so.
So when you have things like that, I mean, you know, maybe it's easier. Like, me personally, I wish the movie theater would come back in full force.
Mm-hmm.
Drive-in, like you said, I'm not worried about the drive-in.
No.
Because it's not just a... You're not just watching...
It'll always have
its
place.
It's an experience, right?
Yeah.
It's a full experience. But... I am worried about, it's sad because I don't want it to turn to, I don't want to see a movie theater go under.
Right.
But, I mean.
Is it big box theaters that killed did they kill the whole feeling? Because, I mean, big box theater tickets are expensive. Like,
yeah.
You know, you go into a Regal or an AMC or something,
right.
like you're going to pay $15 for your show.
Which is why I go into the matinee. Yeah. I save a few dollars in the matinee. Right. I'll try to go before five or
whatever
it is. Yeah.
And then you've got to pay for, like, if you're going to get, like, you're going to get your popcorn, your soda, your candy, whatever you're going to get. Like, that's not cheap either. Like, I go down the road to the local kind of independently owned theater.
Right.
And the tickets still aren't, like, the cheapest, but, like, for I'm paying $7 like for a regular evening show, or $8 or something like that, and the popcorn and everything is a little on the higher end, but it's not terrible.
That's not bad though.
But I don't have to drive all the way over to like the big theater
exactly,
and then sit in, like, even if the little independent one is full, it's not as full as it would be if I was trying to go see it in some stadium seating theater. And honestly, like, I don't, if I'm sitting in a room with, like, say 25 other people, watch, like they're reacting, and people behind me are reacting and in front of me. And, like, there are moments that is welcome. Like, when I saw Evil Dead Rise, it was very welcome to hear people reacting to scenes. Like, that was, like, an enjoyable part of the experience. But it's not always that way.
No, it's not.
And if you've got somebody that's talking or laughing or whatever, like, which is fine. Like, you paid for your ticket, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Right.
But it does take me out of the experience of what I'm doing. Whereas if I'm sitting home, let's say, watching a movie, I can pause it if I need to get up really quick. Like, if I've got to run to the bathroom, I don't have to worry about missing 5+ minutes of the movie because I had to walk all the way down to the bathroom, and then maybe it's full and I gotta wait, and then I gotta walk all the way back, and then, like, you come back in and I don't know what the fuck happened while I was gone. Like, did I miss a major plot point? I don't want to lean over and ask somebody because that's like distracting to everyone around me.
Well, which is why something like the Rocky Horror Picture Show will never not have a good time.
Right.
Like, you'll always know what people are going to do.
Yeah.
You need the crowd. You know, if you know the movie, you know when to throw stuff, when to yell stuff out, when to, you know. So it's a movie like that where it's hard to get a bad crowd.
Right.
And that's probably the only example I could think of.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, you know, talk about a crowd involved show.
Exactly. That's a total, so, but any other movie, a regular generic movie will, you know, I don't see, it's tough, you know, because it's just the phones and stuff like that, you know, people on their phones and things like that, that people would rather just stay home and watch. And I personally would rather go see it in the theater if it's available to me, but just because I want to support that. But I mean, there's times where I've stayed home and I didn't go see it in the theater.
Right.
I waited.
I mean, we had a few years there where that was the only option. Yeah. If you wanted to see a movie, you were going to watch it at home.
Right. That was a big part of it. But yeah, I'd rather go see a theater. Like I said, my main choice is the drive-in.
Right.
This way, I'm going to, if there's a movie that I really want to see, I'll be able to see that, and then another and something movie else. With it. And I'll be able to be outside. And that's the cool part.
Like, a double feature is like a nice.
It is.
Even if you don't stay.
Right.
Let's say for the they're not charging you for two movies.
No.
So even if you left, like, the price is still better than you would have gotten somewhere else.
Exactly. So that's pretty good. That's a nice. The one thing they did do, though, it's funny. The one thing they did do back when I was a kid is they matched the movies up at the drive-in a lot better than they did now.
Yeah, like, it feels a little bit more.
Yeah, you'll see like
now.
A Disney film with, like, say, a horror film or something. You know, like, you'll see Evil Dead Rise with, I don't know, some like a superhero film or something. Like, they won't match them up properly.
Right.
When I was a kid, oh man, did they?
There's an art to it.
They matched them up like Race with the Devil, The Devil's Reign.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
You know, and then I remember there was two Ron Howard movies, Eat My Dust and Grand Theft Auto.
Okay.
Two movies that he did. I don't know if he directed both or one, or I'm not sure. I think he might have directed both. But those were released together. So they always did a really good job back then of teaming them up, and it was perfect. Now, I understand the need to do it now because you're doing, you know, let's say you have a young child and you don't want, you know, say that the second film is a horror film.
Right.
And the first one's more, say, a PG film.
Right.
Then you know that he or she's going to fall asleep in the back seat by the time that second movie starts and you're good to go.
Yeah.
So I understand them doing that if they don't necessarily, if they can't find two movies, because it's hard to find two horror movies.
Yeah.
And one's sort of child friendly. Unless it's a movie like Hocus Pocus or something like that, where it's
right.
Fantasy horror and
you need like a horror comedy
or like Beetlejuice or something like that, where you can show that first and then it'll be like Evil Dead Rise
or something.
But it's tough, but I can understand them doing that. But it was great back then, the way they matched things up perfectly. But I miss that.
I do too, honestly. Well, I think, look at that, man, almost an hour, and you were worried.
I thought it was going to be about 30 minutes.
You were like, we're going to run out of things to talk about.
No. Yeah.
So,
boring life.
All right. So, everybody, thank you for listening, obviously. And go to YouTube, Tanner's Terrifying Trivia. Subscribe to the channel. Take the quizzes. Leave comments. Tell Tanner all of the amazing things that you think and what movies you think he should do. And he loves to hear all of your opinions.
I'd love a movie suggestions too.
Yeah, there you go. So if you got movie suggestions that he hasn't done yet, do it. That's going to do it for this time.
Thank you.
I'll be seeing you again. Oh, you're welcome, man. Of course. Be seeing you again soon. I got some more stuff coming on the way. But for now, that's going to be it. Tanner, say goodnight to everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Later, y'all.